If you were to ask me, I would not recommend watching a movie on Sunday morning because that's what's in your mind when you go to Mass. So normally, especially on a Sunday, get up and pray and go to Mass. Don't get up and pray and then watch a movie, because after you watch the movie, you can't remember what you prayed about. At least I can't. I can't remember what I was going to talk about in this homily, because the movie is still very fresh in my mind. Well, here we are. This is our concluding Mass. We started the retreat with a Mass. We always conclude with a Mass. And we have been reflecting on the theme, open the eyes of our hearts. And as we have reflected on this theme, we have had our hearts enlightened by many different ways. We pondered on the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector and on many other scriptures. We received the sacrament of the Eucharist yesterday. We received the sacrament of confession yesterday. We shared with one another. We were silent with one another. We listened to talks. We made prayers. One of the prayers we did yesterday was the Stations of the Cross, and this one really stood out. This is the sixth station. Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. At first, Veronica saw only a buffeted and pain-filled face. Yet her act of love impressed the true image of Jesus on her heart. On his human face, bloodied and bruised, she saw the face of God and his goodness, which accompanies us even in our deepest sorrows. Only with the heart can we see Jesus. Only love purifies us and gives us the ability to see. Only love enables us to recognize the God who is love itself. Exactly what we've been pondering all weekend. Well, then we came to the movie Encanto. A little bit ironic that of all the things that happened this weekend, the movie about seeing was very hard to see. The picture wasn't very bright, and I boasted about how great the animation is. It's really high quality 3D animation. You couldn't see it. I don't know if you had seen the movie before, you know the difference, but what we saw was a washed out picture. It didn't matter, but I thought it was a little ironic since we're talking about seeing. We couldn't see very well with our eyes, but we could still see with the eyes of our hearts and get the message of the film. And actually, the seeing is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The seeing is the gift of the work of God in our hearts. So here we are. We're in the midst of our journey in Lent. This is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and the fourth Sunday is traditionally known by the Latin title Laetare Sunday, meaning Rejoice Sunday. This is a Sunday to rejoice. If you have pink vestments, the priest can wear pink vestments. We don't have any, I don't have any. But that's one of the symbols of joy. And the idea behind rejoicing in the middle of Lent is that Lent is a hard, challenging, somber time. And the church knows that we need a little extra encouragement to persevere. The church is also telling us it's not good to be too somber. It's not good to be too penitential, even in Lent. There is an excess possible there, and the church doesn't want us to do that. The church does not want us to forget joy, even in the midst of our sorrows. Not to forget Easter in the midst of Lent. Now, people who don't take Lent very seriously, or who don't take Lent and penance very seriously, they don't need a break. They don't need any rejoicing because they're indulging themselves all the time. But for us here on retreat, and we've been reflecting on this theme of opening the eyes of our hearts, so we can take this idea of rejoicing in and apply it to the experience of having the eyes of our hearts opened. You see, when the eyes of our hearts are opened, we can see more than suffering and burdens and fear and competition and corruption and all our trials and all our weaknesses and all our brokenness, etc., all our sins. We can see more than all that because we can see with the eyes of the heart that God is still at work. In fact, God is at work in the middle of that chaos, in the middle of that broken world. And that gives us joy, to know God. To see God is what gives joy. The real reason for joy is to see God. So there was a lot of joy in the movie. And the sister who's strong, Luisa, she was not happy, even though she was very strong, until she could let go of the demand that she carry every burden. So joy came from recognizing her limitation, not from her strength. It's a good lesson for us. The other sister, Isabella, she was trying to be perfect in every way, and she thought that's what she should do. She wasn't happy. She wasn't happy until she realized that her mission was not simply to be perfect according to some rigidly established form that she was conforming to, but to be herself and to let go of herself, let make a gift of herself. That's what gave her joy. And then there's lots of lessons like that. Just to connect something to the readings of today, as you heard this morning's first reading, Samuel choosing the next king, I don't know if you would have thought of Mirabel, but Mirabel is the David in that reading because she's the one who doesn't look like she's qualified for anything. So Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, and he's been told. I mean, Samuel knows. He's a good listener. Samuel has been, talk about the eyes of his heart. Samuel has been guided from his heart since his youth, remember. Usually we refer to him as a good listener. But that's the same thing, listening to God, seeing with the eyes of the heart, same thing. So Samuel knows that the next king, the next one he's to anoint, is among these sons. He gets to the house, he sees the eldest, Eliab, and he says, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him. Surely." It's so obvious. Seeing with the eyes, seeing with the mind. This has to be the one. But because he also sees with his heart, he immediately hears the Lord say, "No, that's not the one." In fact, the message of the Lord, and this is one of the scriptures that was on the handout yesterday, is, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." So it's a clear example of seeing with the eyes of the heart. Surely, surely this is the one. We can be so convinced unless we are seeing the eyes of the heart. Let me turn now to this gospel, this extraordinary gospel of the healing of the man born blind. One of the first things that comes out of this reading is the question that his disciples ask Jesus, why is this guy blind? What's the reason? What is it, his sin? Is it his parents' sin? Who's to blame? What can we reason out as the logical cause of suffering? Of course, we don't know. We can't see that with our eyes or with our minds. We can see suffering, but we can't figure it out. We can't figure out why someone would be born blind. I mean, he didn't do anything. It's not his fault. How can they blame the parents? They didn't choose that. So neither of the answers makes sense, but the answer of Jesus is more puzzling to the mind. They ask him who sinned, and Jesus says, neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. What? How does a child being born blind make the works of God visible? That's what the mind says. But the heart says, wait a minute. God is at work in everything. God is in charge of everything. God is doing all things for the good of those who love him. And even these incomprehensible sufferings are not incomprehensible to God. He sees. He doesn't judge by appearances. He doesn't think that everything's bad that we think is bad. And that's Jesus' answer. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. Meaning everything and every person and every experience is an opportunity for the works of God to be made visible. The movie brought it out. Well, even the cracks, even the brokenness, even the limitations are opportunities for something greater, meaning the work of God, to be made visible. So that's the first thing that I get from this gospel, that with the eyes of the heart, we can see beyond limitations. A second thing we can highlight here, this man born blind did not ask to be healed, not in this gospel. Other people and other gospel stories cry out for healing. But in this one, Jesus takes the initiative. Jesus, who declares himself the light of the world, says, I've been sent to bring light to the world, and this is one of the ways I'm going to do it. And the way he does it is symbolically connected to the creation of Adam. Remember, the clay of the earth, he breathes into it, gives the first man life. In this case, it's the clay of the earth and the spittle, which is a symbol of breath in the mind of the Semitic mind. So it's a new creation. It's another sign that life and light come from God. And this blind man is made new. It's an extraordinary miracle. It's so obvious that something great happened. I mean, the guy's never seen in his whole life, and now he can see. Explain that. Well, the natural explanation is God did something through this man, Jesus. God's at work here, and that's what everybody thinks, except for the Pharisees. So we see in this gospel, in addition to a great miracle of seeing, we also see a very horrible picture of blindness. The Pharisees, the more they investigate, the more they're convinced that Jesus is evil. Until they finally throw the very witness of a great miracle right out of the temple. They're not even going to listen to you. You've been in sin your whole life. You can't teach us anything. See their blindness. And at the very end of the gospel, Jesus has to point it out to them. If you were blind, you'd have no sin. But you say, we see. And so your sin remains. I came into this world for judgment that those who do not see might see. As long as we're willing to admit we do not see. And those who do see might become blind. Meaning the blindness of the Pharisees. Okay. Let's just look also at the, and this is the way I can conclude here, because this is a good lesson for us as we go forth. Let's look at the journey of the blind man himself. Of course, he starts out blind, limited, in darkness, and the first gift is he's given his physical sight. Eyes, mind, heart. Remember the three ways of seeing that we studied yesterday. Eyes, physical, mind, understanding, you know, reason, and then the heart, which is what we're getting toward. Well, it starts with the physical. In this case, he's physically healed. He can see. Then, he starts thinking about it. He's using his reason. He's not using faith. And they're saying, well, what happened? And he says, well, this guy, Jesus, he anointed my eyes and I can see. Using his anointing, something happened here. And Jesus is the key figure. And what he did is obviously good. So he must be good. He must be a prophet. He thought of that. He didn't get enlightened by some kind of miracle. He saw with his eyes, that's a miracle. But then he used his own logic and said, no, this has to be a good thing done by a good man. And he grows in his understanding, even as he's opposed. You know, the opposition against him gets greater, and he gets stronger. Because as he thinks about it, he says, wait a minute, you people who claim to be experts, you don't know what you're talking about. It's so obvious. So his understanding grows. But there's still something missing. He still doesn't know Jesus. He still hasn't seen Jesus, even with his eyes. So Jesus seeks him out. Again, initiative of the Lord. Jesus seeks him out and asks him, do you believe in the Son of Man? It's a question of faith. It's a question of the eyes of the heart. Do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man says, well, who is he? That I may believe. I'm ready to believe, but I can't do it unless he is revealed to me. Unless the eyes of my heart are opened, I can't just say, I believe. I have to receive the gift. And then Jesus gives him the gift. You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. Revelation. Revelation of Jesus' identity to the man. And then the man says, I do believe, Lord. Not only do I see with my eyes, not only do I understand that you're from God, but I believe. I make the leap of faith. And he worshipped him. Now, that's where we're going. No, that's what we're here for, so we can believe and worship and follow the Lord. Pope Francis in the spiritual reflection that's printed in the Quantum of Way for today makes a very good point here. This is on, you have Quantum of Way on page 124. The healed blind man, who now sees both with his eyes of the body and with those of the soul, is the image of every baptized person who, immersed in grace, has been pulled out of the darkness and placed in the light of faith. So this man is an image of every one of us. But it is not enough to receive the light. One must become light. This is kind of a send-off message for us. We receive light on a retreat, but that's not enough. Now we have to become light, bring that light into the world. Each one of us is called to receive the divine light in order to manifest it with our whole life. To receive divine light, to have the eyes of our hearts opened, and then to manifest that light with our whole life. One little footnote I'd like to add to this. The example of St. Joseph. We know that St. Joseph's feast day is usually on March 19 today, but today is not the feast of St. Joseph. It's transferred to tomorrow. But St. Joseph is a great example of seeing with the eyes of the heart. He didn't see the glory of the Lord. He didn't see the miracles of the Lord. In fact, he didn't even hear the message except in his dreams. So he had to be led interiorly, because exteriorly there was nothing. And yet he was. He allowed himself to be led. He allowed himself to be enlightened. So Joseph, who we will celebrate tomorrow, is already a good indicator to us today of what this is all about. Let the Lord speak. Let the Lord shine. Let the Lord open the eyes of our hearts. Receive that light. Follow that light. And become light for the world. St. Joseph, pray for us. Amen.